As we prepare to receive God's word, let us join our hearts in prayer. Loving God, fountain of every blessing, open us to your life-giving word and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that living water may flow through our hearts, a spring of hope for a thirsty world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. Jesus needs to take a breath. He has just heard the news. Did you hear it too? What a big, heartbreaking mess. John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, his partner in ministry, the one who has been paving Jesus' way since they were in the womb, has just been killed. Violently and senselessly. Herod Antipas has had it out for John for a long time. This is not the same Herod as the one who was king when Jesus was born. Herod Antipas is King Herod's son, and he's the ruler, sort of like a governor over the region of Galilee. John the Baptist had, of course, been preaching a message of repentance within the bounds of Herod's region. And much like Jesus, John gains a lot of listeners and followers and students. So any good, loyal Roman authority would be skeptical of him right off the bat. John the Baptist is telling people that it's time to live differently, that God desires something more and different for the world, and that the Lord is coming. From Herod's standpoint, this kind of talk could really disrupt his social and political arrangements. And then it gets personal. Herod Antipas falls in love with and marries Herodias. But there were 2 problems with that. One, Herodias is Herod's niece, and she's already married to Herod's half-brother. Herod breaks up that marriage, takes Herodias as his own wife. And when John the Baptist objects to it, saying that this marriage is not lawful, Herod has John arrested and thrown into prison. He'd probably been looking for a reason to arrest John the Baptist for a while now. This was just the last straw. So then, during Herod's birthday party, he and his guests, especially Herodias and her daughter, kind of start to egg each other on. Let's bring John the Baptist's head in on a platter. Let's celebrate Herod's birthday by killing his enemy and displaying the grisly results. And that's eventually what they do. This whole thing is shocking and degrading, and you have to imagine that Jesus is heartbroken when he hears about it. This is a person Jesus loves, whose life has been cut tragically short by a drunken, power-hungry ruler who can't stomach 1 ounce of criticism, whose solution is to kill off anybody who disagrees with him. Can you imagine how defeated Jesus and the disciples must be feeling by now? What are they supposed to do? So Jesus takes a moment by himself to pray, or at least he tries. He gets in a boat, goes to a deserted place, but the people follow him on foot from the towns. They keep coming and coming. So when Jesus gets to the shore, instead of finding a deserted place, he's faced with this huge crowd of people. So imagine you are in Jesus' shoes now. You've just been through something very traumatic. You've lost a friend and a family member. You know very well that the same guy who killed John is bound to come for you next. In fact, Herod's family has been trying to get rid of Jesus since the day that Jesus was born. So what do you do? All these people looking to you for help again. Do you hop back in that boat and start rowing in the other direction to find that quiet, deserted place where nobody can bother you? Do you think about maybe changing course, like a career change? Maybe settle down for a much less controversial life as a carpenter back in Nazareth? What do you do in the aftermath of something so tragic and senseless? What do you do when life is so messy? When people are so cruel? And when your grief is so raw? Jesus looks out in the crowd, and he chooses to serve them. He heals their sick. He looks on them with compassion. And when the hour grows late and the disciples suggest that it's probably time to be sending them home, he says, "Bring them to me." He has everybody sit down on the grass. He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Prays God's blessing on the meal and asks the disciples to pass it around until everyone's bellies are full. He doesn't think twice. He doesn't give any credit to the suggestions of maybe a more practical approach, like let's send them home before it gets dark, or we don't have enough food. These are valid concerns, but compared with the compassion Jesus has for the crowd, those are just minor details. Can we take a cue from Jesus in our own strange, disorienting, grief-laden days? What can we do when we start to feel defeated? When the news is always bad? When something senseless happens? What can we do when it feels like the world is falling apart? When tragedies are the norm? When political leaders are acting out of self-interest rather than common good? When people die too young? What can we do when we're stuck wondering, what now? Or what next? You might want to take a moment for yourself to pray and rest. Jesus certainly did. But he didn't stay there. For him, the answer to that question, what now? What next? Was in serving others, even when he was hurting himself. When everything is falling apart, turn your eyes back out to the world. Notice the hungry people all around you and pick up what you have. Only 5 loaves and 2 fish? All you've got is a bare bones budget? Can you only get together outside? Can you only stay home? Only worshiping online these days? Only have a telephone? Only a few moments of free time in your week? Can you only pray? Only write? Is that all that you have? Bring it to the Lord. It will be more than enough. Today, we are going to be celebrating communion as a church family for the first time since March 1st, 5 months ago. And we can only do it outside or on Zoom. We can only have 1 carload in the garden together at a time. And all we have is this little prepackaged, way too sanitary wafer and juice. It's like all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish staring in the face of a global crisis. All we have is this tiny meal staring in the face of lonely, anxious, broken hearts. Will this little cup be enough, you think? Will this little wafer remind you that you have a place in God's great big family? Will this simple meal show you that you belong in body and mind and spirit to a loving and gracious God? Will it help you see again with new eyes? Will this tiny thing open your heart to act out of compassion, no matter how defeated you might feel, no matter how big the world's problems, no matter how large the needs grow. Is this enough? More than enough. Thanks be to God. Amen.